Thank you, Susan. What a wonderful way to get us going as we come back to our three services and this 10:30 service. I'm Pastor Stephanie. I am glad to be here with you. I've never done this service before, so stick with me and just shout out if I get it wrong. We'll figure it out together. Several announcements to highlight for you. You'll want to make sure you take your bulletin home with you. Lots of things kicking off today, including the ice cream truck kicks off today. Right after this service, we'll have Sweet Cow will be here. Do we do that every Sunday after this service? Yes, some people are saying yes. I think they're telling tales in church on Sunday to the pastor, but whatever. So that's happening, so you'll want to join in that fellowship time, and know that families from the preschool will be joining us, so be your cordial best to them. It's always wonderful to come together. I also want to point out to you that next Saturday at 8 a.m., is that when it starts, Stephen?
Yeah.
8 a.m., the trustees want you to be here to help them. We are going to spruce up the church inside and out, a lot of outside stuff as fall happens, and we need you because many hands make light work. And there's all kinds of jobs. Someone said to me, well, why would I do yard work at the church? I have yard work to do at home. It's more fun to come here and do it together. And to do it at church is really good. And Stephen will be really happy. And Desiree will be happy because that means Stephen will get done faster, and then he can be with the children. Do you see how important you coming to help is? It's really important. Ellie needs you to come help. How's that? We've got to play with what we've got. So come and help do that. I also want to let you know, if you've been thinking about becoming a liturgist, we would love to have you come to a liturgist training the 22nd after this service. And one last thing, some of you have asked, how is the best way to help people who are victims of the hurricane? And the best way is to donate to the United Methodist Committee on Relief. And you can do that by just dropping a check or an envelope labeled, so we'll just put hurricane on it in our plate, and then we'll make sure it goes to the right place. And the reason that's a good way to do it, say you give $10 to help hurricanes or hurricane victims, $10, all of it will go. There is no overhead. We pay for the overhead as part of our apportionment and part of Umpqua Sunday, which we celebrate in the spring. So all of the administrative costs are already taken care of. So it's a really wonderful way to help those in need. So if you'd like more information, always feel free to ask about that. And if you are a youth or a parent of a youth, which means people in 6th through 12th grades, we're having you for dinner tonight, and we'd love to welcome you at the Parsonage. So if you know people in that group, please let them know. It's not too late to tell me on the way out the door, oh yes, we've decided to come. So we would enjoy that. Lots of other things happening in your bulletin. Make sure you read it. And I encourage you to pay attention to all that's happening. And if there's something you really wish we were doing, let me know. Maybe we can figure out a way to make that happen as well. I encourage you to take a moment to stand to greet each other in the name of Christ. Maybe meet someone you've never met before. Say hello this morning to someone new.
Please rise. Join us for the congregational introit, which is number 539, O Spirit of the Living God. We're going to do just verse 1, and then would you please stay standing through the call to worship and our opening hymn. Spirit of the living God, thou light and fire divine, descend upon thy church once more and make it truly thine. Fill it with love and joy and power, with righteousness and peace, till Christ shall dwell do our call to worship responsively. We come to this place to meet God. We come to this place to find respite from a weary world. We come to this place to worship God.
Okay, you may be seated. And if we've got any other kids who want to come up here and join us, we are doing some reading up here today for children's time. This is pretty exciting. So I handed all of you guys some books. What kind of books did I give you guys? They're Bibles. Let's look at all these different Bibles you have. Are they all the same? No. So let's look at Brian's. Brian, can you hold that one up? It's really heavy. Look at this one, you guys. He's got this huge one. It must weigh 116 pounds. What do you think, Brian? And then look at Isis. What do you have? Can you hold that one up? Is that one weigh 116 pounds? No, that one's a tiny one. She's got a little one. Tell us about yours, Walker. What does yours have? What makes yours different? It's a comic book. It's a Bible that's written out like a comic book. That's right. What about yours? What do you have up here, Julia? What makes yours different? Yeah, what makes that one different? It's got lots of words and some pictures, right? And then Ellie's got this one. Let's see, what does yours look like, Ellie? It has a picture of Jesus on it, and it has lots of other pictures, right? This is a whole picture Bible, right? And then Jameson, you've got an interesting one too. Can you tell what makes yours different? Your Bible is written in Spanish, that's right. It's a whole different language. Well, you guys have all of these Bibles. I also have a couple of other Bibles too, and Pastor Stephanie puts them out up here as well. We are talking about the Bible today. Pretty cool, right? So the Bible you guys are all holding are all very different. Do you think they say kind of the same thing? They do, these books. The Bible has been translated into like over 450 languages, you guys. That's a lot of words, right? A lot of different languages people can read it in. It's also got all the different books in there and all the different things it says. What do we learn from the Bible when we read it? What do we learn? About Jesus? Yeah, how to be a better person. That's an excellent thing, Jameson. You can learn how to be a better person. We learn all about God and Jesus. We hear the stories. So those of you who have already gotten your Bibles, that would be Walker and Jameson up here right now. You guys got Bibles when you were third graders, right? We have a couple more of you who will be getting Bibles in just a couple months, right? Brian and Isis will get some Bibles this year. And then a couple of you will have to wait a few years. But why do you think we give Bibles out to you guys when you get to be in third grade? Why do you think we give you a Bible? So you can learn. We give you a Bible because this Bible is full of all kinds of cool stuff. When things are hard, the Bible will help. Exactly. So the Bible is a book full of stories, right? It tells us some really neat stories in here. But also the Bible is a way to live our life. It's a guide, right? When you're having a really hard time, this book can help you. When you're feeling maybe a little bit lonely, you can go to the Bible and it can help you, right? It teaches us about God and about God's love. It teaches us all about Jesus. And like Jameson Tett said, it tells us how to be a better person. Those are all really good things about our Bible. So you might have a Bible that's huge like Brian's or tiny like Isis's. You might have one in a different language like Jameson has, or one full of pictures like Ellie. But what's important about it is this Bible will help us and will teach us and will guide us, right? It's the Word of God. Can we say a prayer real quick, you guys? Can you guys bow your head for me and say, hey, God, thanks for teaching us. Thanks for guiding us, and thanks for helping us be better people. Help us to remember that everything we need to know can be found right here in this Bible. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us.
That's a lot of Bibles. Yes, it is. Thank you, Larissa, for sharing all those. You're going to study the Bible, the comic book Bible? I'll preach from it, too. That'll be good. We come to a time of sharing our joys and our concerns, and we want to try something new in this service. You'll notice if you're sitting behind a pew, there are prayer cards there, and they should be in all of them. Michael has redesigned all that for us. It looks nice. We're working on getting them in front of the chairs. Sorry, right now we don't have them, but those of you who are here in the chairs, we love you too. We just don't have them figured out yet. Sorry. But so there are prayer cards there, and we would invite you to take those cards if you have a prayer request and write it down on there, and the staff will be praying for them on Tuesday. You'll just drop it in the offering plate when it comes by a little bit later in the service. So just trying something little new, and I'm sorry, we're working on it for the chair people. We just don't have a place to put them, so we're working on all that. But just a way to try something new. You'll find out about me. I try things new all the time, and sometimes they don't even work, but we try them, and then we say, oh, well, what did we learn from that? So we're going to try that. So if you have a prayer request, please fill out the prayer card and drop it in the plate. Those of you who don't have easy access, we will receive your prayer card after church. We're happy to do that, too. I invite you to join me now as we go to God in a time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come. We come this day ready, full of anticipation and excitement about what this year will bring as we move into our fall of all of the programming and worship. We ask that you would be present, that we are listening to meet the needs of many. Help us to understand where you would have us serve. We come this morning wondering what we can learn, wondering how to be present. Wondering, God, sometimes even where you are, be present to us. And help us to be present for those who can't feel you this day, so that they too would know you through our actions and our words. Sometimes words fail us, and we remember. We remember that we can turn to the Bible, where we find words of inspiration and of hope, where we can find words of challenge. We turn to those words, and as we do, lend your spirit there so that they would speak again to us in a living way, in a way full of power. One of the sets of words we find there help us when we can't pray. We know we want to turn to you, but we can't find words. We find there the words that your Son taught his disciples as we pray together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
At this time of offering,
I noticed that the bells are playing a piece called In His Care. We don't always know the words because you're playing an instrument, but In His Care, and as, you may be seated, by the way, I'm sorry. The ushers come forward, I would ask you and invite you to think about how you receive God's care in your own life and make an offering acceptable to that care that you receive. Ushers. We give you thanks, O God, for all of the gifts that you offer us, the gifts in deed and word, the gifts that we forget sometimes, but we give thanks. We give thanks for these gifts that we return to you and ask that you would bless them. Amen.
Please join me in this scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The scripture reading this morning is found in two passages, firstly in Romans and then in 2 Timothy. So in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." And now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16, "All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work." The word of God for the people of God.
Spoken as Jesus spoke in ancient Galilee. Here in this place, O God, we hear the message heard on the sunlight shore beside the sea.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. It's the first I've gotten to hear you, and it was wonderful. Thank you very much. This September series is about back to basics. When I thought about things that we need to know, who we are and how we understand ourselves as Christians, I decided maybe we should just go back to basics, to think about things that we need to know as Christians, but maybe we've forgotten. Now, many of you have been in church more than once or twice in your life. Many of you could teach a class on the basics of Christianity. So you would think, oh, we don't need that. But we do, don't we? Sometimes just need to stop and remember the basic building blocks. But I would also warn you of something. I'm never happy with the basics. I'm never just going to say, oh, good, that was nice. We talked about the Bible and we all understand it. I'll try to find ways to encourage you to move beyond your basic understanding. I'll try to find ways to maybe challenge us a little bit and help us grow in the basics. Because if we stay at that basic level, we're not moving, we're not growing, and that's not a good option for us as church, is it? We want to understand things in better and deeper ways. So we're going to look at the basics, but get ready to understand those, and don't dismiss it lightly, because there may be a little more here or there as we look into these basics. This week, and we'll get there in just a minute, we're going to start with the Bible, an easy basic. And one of the reasons we're starting with the Bible is it undergirds and gives us information about lots of different pieces. Next week, we're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. Many of you could say that by memory. Sometimes when I'm leading it, you'll see me look up at the words if you peek at me. And that's because we get so rote about it, don't we? We forget. And then I think after that, I'm not sure, I've lost. Oh, God. God's pretty basic to our beliefs as a Christian, isn't God? But I'm not going to do that one alone. A good friend of mine, his name is Reverend Rusty Butler from Salt Lake, will be here to help me. He sees God a little differently than I do. So the two of us together will talk to you about God, and I think you'll enjoy hearing his voice for that one. We're going to talk about Jesus. That's a good one, the week after. And then we'll end with talking about communion on World Communion Sunday as we finish our talk about all of the different basics. So those of you who are wondering what happened to stewardship because it's September, we're doing that in October. We'll move there. We'll get there later. I wanted to do some other things first and talk about basics. So that's where we're going. I hope it makes sense to you, and would love to have your thoughts about any of those things and topics as we move forward. But I did want to talk about the Bible. I love that Larissa had all of these children's Bibles, and over here I see one of the kids' story Bibles. I remember those with my own kids. They've got bright pictures, and it's not really the whole text of the Bible. It's just the big stories, and those are great for kids, because that's what they learn and they can remember is stories. There's a lot of other things in the Bible that we need to know, but those are important. She also asked the children about their first Bible and getting one, and we'll do that on November 3rd. I brought mine with me. This is my Bible that I got in third grade. How many of you know where your first Bible is? How many of you never got a first Bible? If not, let me know. We can make that happen too. This is my first Bible. It's a Revised Standard Version, which tells you how old I am. It's not New Revised. This is plain old Revised. I got this a while back. It probably tells me where. 1971, I received this Bible. And I was so excited to be a third grader and to get this, because it wasn't that kid's Bible. It wasn't for babies. It was for big kids who could read. In the old days, back when I was a kid, the kids' Bibles we gave out were kind of boring. Do you remember yours? Many of yours probably looks like this. Mine was snazzy because it actually had some color pictures in it. But for the most part, it's just words. And did you ever realize, and these pages, oh my goodness, they were so thin. We don't give this, you can still order these, but we don't give these to our kids anymore. We give them study Bibles with all kinds of things to engage them, get them excited about being into their word and reading their Bible. I took this to camp when I was in seventh grade, and I think a boy or something distracted me, and I left it laying on a picnic table from the Bible study, and you can see where it got a little rain damage from that, but it's still pretty good shape, and I can still use it for things. It was exciting. And I remember that feeling of excitement because I finally got to read for myself all of those things I'd been hearing about for all those years since I was, you know, a kid. All those years in Sunday school, myself, I could read it. But I grew up in the Midwest, in the Methodist Church, in a time and an era where we didn't really read the Bible after preschool age. We didn't hear the Bible stories. We learned about doing good things because Jesus did. And I wanted to find out for myself what Jesus did, but it felt like we never did that. We got study papers. We got those Sunday school papers. Again, I'm so old, they were in many shades of brown. Do any of you remember those Methodist papers that were all brown? We don't do that anymore either. But we didn't read our Bibles. We had them, but we didn't read them. And I was sad and disappointed because that's what I wanted to do, was learn more. I really like that Romans passage that Arthur read. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction. And that's what I wanted as a child, so that steadfastness and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. I don't think at the age of 8 I was looking for hope particularly. I was more looking for answers, but hope and encouragement. Do you ever find those in the Bible? Do you turn to your Bible to find those words of hope? Many of us do. Some of you say, oh, my favorite psalm is whatever that might be. And it gives you those words of hope. Some of you may say things like, I know this is in there, whether it is or not, and it gives you comfort. Many of us, though, have moved away from our Bibles. Some of you have heard of George Barna. He does a lot of research in religions in America and gets a lot of data. So I want to share some of that with you. That's why I have this written down. A majority of United States adults, 52% of you, read the Bible outside of the church less than 3 or 4 times a year. Wow, less than 3 or 4 times a year. The other half, who actually pick it up sometimes, 14% read their Bible daily. That's pretty good, I guess. 13% read it a couple times a week, 8% once a week, and 6% read their Bible about once a month. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands on how often you read your Bible, because some weeks I'd be embarrassed as well. Now, I know some of you are amazing, and you do Bible study every single morning, and I am proud to be your pastor, and maybe you could teach me the trick, because I'm bad. I don't do it every morning. I should. I know that, but to be honest, I just don't always. Some of you try really hard for a while and then forget. And I understand that. Life gets in our way. And some of you have your third grade Bible that you got somewhere sometime and you might find it again and read it. And that's okay too. Wherever you are on your journey. But you might want to think about finding it, dusting it off, opening up and see if you can find words of hope within your Bible. I noticed that just outside, or just inside the big sliding door, there's a basket of Bibles, and you can take one. So if you're not sure where yours is, or you're afraid if you take yours away, the door will slam, because it's holding you, get it, feel free to help yourself to one. For those of you who are saying, I wouldn't even know what Bible to buy, or where to start, I'll give you 2 options. One on the internet, those of you who spend time on the internet all the time, there's a website called BibleGateway.com. It has all kinds of versions of the Bible, all kinds. And it's really fun because you can compare them and read them. It's free. There's some ads that pop up. Just ignore those. And then for those of you who have a smartphone, and you're tired of playing solitaire or other games, let me direct you to something called YouVersion, Y-O-U version. It's an app. You can get it in all the app stores. And it's a wonderful free, again, app. And you can download and read scripture there, maybe while you're waiting. Have any of you ever had to wait for anything, ever? A doctor's appointment, the children after school, whatever it might be. Just think, if you had your phone and your Bible app, you could pull it up, you could read your scripture, and then people go, what are you doing? Are you winning? Because they think you're playing the game because it's your phone, right? And you're so intent on it. And you say, I am winning because I'm reading the Bible. Instant evangelism right there. Look at that. Or you can just say, I am, and keep it to yourself. Either way, both of those have daily readings and are just a helpful way to dig into Scripture. It's our book, people. It's our book. John Wesley said that he was a man of only one book, Scripture, of the Bible. Now, he didn't mean that was the only book he read. Obviously not. He was a learned man in the age of enlightenment, read science all the time, history, philosophy, all kinds of things, but he still read this Bible and informed who he was. And maybe it can help inform who you are. The second scripture that was read is from Timothy, and this is the one that excites me about reading the Bible. Words of hope are good. Words of kindness are good. But listen to this. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. Guess which parts of this I like? Well, not the inspired by God part, because I struggle with that. Not that I don't think scripture is inspired by God, but I suppose I should tell you what I do think. Some people believe that scripture is wonderful literature. You can even take classes on it, read poetry and history there. And some people believe that God wrote the Bible, and because of that, there's not a mistake in it. Most of us Methodists are somewhere in the middle of all of that. And we believe this as it was read, inspired by God, not written by God. There are people, if you ask them, well, which Bible did God write, will tell you. The King James Version. I am positive that's wrong. Absolutely positive. And as much as I appreciate the King's English, Jesus didn't speak that. Moses certainly didn't. It's not the Bible. Is it great? Oh, give me a Psalm in King James any day. Any day. Because they sound better. The poetry, oh, wonderful. But that's not how they were written. The Bible was written by people. And guess what? People make mistakes sometimes. People make mistakes. Did any of you get to go see the Dead Sea Scrolls down in Denver this last year when it was there? Oh, that was exciting, wasn't it? Those little fragments. And to see and understand how those make a difference in our understanding of where Scripture has come from. And the changes, even then. And as they continue today. So somebody may say, well, what's the best Bible to read? And the answer is yes. Compare them. Read a lot of them. Don't get hung up about King James. If that's your favorite, okay. But know there's a lot more out there. And know that it's not the original. That was 1600s. Way before then was their scripture. So that's not the part that excites me. And this whole idea, as you might imagine, this reproof stuff, ugh. No, I'm not into that. You'll never see me stand before you and pound one of these. You'll never see me stand before you and tell you if you don't follow this, bad things will happen to you, because that's not who I am. But what is it? What's important? Well, that's why I brought this other Bible. I brought this one. This is my Oxford Annotated Bible. Some of you may have used these in Bible studies. I got this when I started Disciple Bible Study. Have you done that Disciple Bible Study ever? It is 36 weeks of reading 87% of the Bible, and it's a deep study of the history, the archaeology, what's going on at the time, how we can bring that into our daily lives. Oh, good stuff. By the time you finish that, you know this book, or at least you know a lot about where it came from and how it can impact you. The first time I ever actually was a participant, my children were little, and I had an 18-month-old toddler, and one day he was being every moment of that 18 months. I don't know what it was he did, I don't remember, but I remember I wasn't happy with him. Have you ever had those moments? Those of you who didn't, never had a toddler. I don't know what it was he did, but I was angry. And I did something as a mother I hardly ever did. I sent him to timeout. Sent him to timeout. So he stormed down the hall into my room. next to the chair I sat in when I did my disciple Bible study every day. And he picked up this Bible, which for a little guy was a lot of Bible, and he carried it down the hall. And he opened it up, and he put it on the floor in front of me. And he took his little foot, and he stamped on my Bible with his foot, and he said, "Read this. Feel better. Oh. Reproof? Definitely." But his point was, well taken. "I've seen you, Mom, study that. And when you do, you're nicer. You seem to be in a place of peace." Now, he didn't articulate all that, but he put me in my place, and he reminded me of something important. Sometimes I just needed to take a moment, take a deep breath, and read this, and live in this word. Now, when we do that, when we live in that word, guess what happens? We change a little. And I ran across this great thing, and this is the part of that scripture I like the most, that we are then equipped, proficient for every good work. And I read this study. Someone did a doctor thesis on reading the Bible and if it made a difference. And he found that it did. Reading the Bible makes people more progressive. That's what I said. I couldn't believe that. More progressive by reading the Bible? I know a lot of people who claim that they read the Bible all the time, and they are not progressive at all. They're the other side of progressive, regressive, ungressive, I don't know, bad thing. And I thought, how could that be? But I went on to read more, and he said, when they really read the Bible. Now, saying that the Bible is the inerrant, infallible word of God is not reading it. It's claiming something about it. And why do some of our evangelical friends claim the Bible is the inerrant word of God? Because it's the only way they can be in their church. It's the only way they can be a leader. They have to sign a paper saying so, and that's different than who we are. We say, bring your belief and we'll all together share. But saying, I believe that God wrote the Bible and there's nothing wrong in it, I would never say that, but people who say that, it's not the same as reading it deeply, understanding and growing from it. Because what he found was even people who believe that it's the infallible word of God, when they actually study the Bible and read it deeply, they start to change and become more progressive as well. Particularly in things like social justice issues, criminal justice issues, and this one I couldn't believe but true, science and theology, when you really read it. And here's some examples of how that works. The Bible in the Old Testament is very clear in Deuteronomy that Moabites are bad people, that they're not allowed to be among God's people. The people from Moab, we don't want them with us. It's clear there's a rule against it in Deuteronomy. But then later in the Old Testament, we read the story of Ruth, a story of love and loyalty, a beautiful story. And guess where Ruth is from? Moab. It changes our impression of someone from Moab. People from the community called Uz, U-Z, Uz, awful, evil people, the Bible tells us, evil. But then there was this man, and he was the most blameless man on earth, and his name was Job. And we learn mercy and to love through him. It changes the narrative. Also in Deuteronomy, it tells us that no foreigners or eunuchs are allowed in church. But then later in Acts, we read the story of the African eunuch who was welcomed in church. It begins to change. And have you ever heard of these people called Samaritans? Bad people, awful people, don't want anything to do with them. And yet Jesus teaches us all a lesson on how to treat others by saying the only one who was good, the only one who was good was the Samaritan. So as we read the stories, as we see the development from prejudice to openness, we do become more progressive. In our own hearts, we can stop and weigh for ourselves if the story of the Bible can change. Surely we can change as well. And that's how reading the Bible makes us more progressive, more open to understanding. When we read it with the Spirit behind it. Have you heard of people who flip through the Bible and it opens to a page and they say that's God's message for them in that day? They say, oh, this is truly what God wants me to know. I don't think it really works that way, because my Bible would fall open to John all the time because it's my favorite and I've read it so much that the spine gives there a little bit. That doesn't mean God wants me to read John every day. It means I broke my spine of my Bible and I need to branch out and read some other pieces maybe. But what it does, what can happen, is when you open that Bible to read it, is to ask the Spirit to be present with you, to read it then, because that's how you start to read the message for you in the Scripture that day, to read it spiritually. And when you do that, things will change. I don't want to threaten you or worry you or scare you that you might become more progressive, but you might. You might become more open to ideas in ways that you hadn't been before when you ask the Spirit to read you, to fill you as you read. Have you ever read something from a Bible study a long time ago? A note you made in the margin of your Bible, maybe. And yes, it's okay to write in your Bible. Look at mine, you'll see. And you read that and you think, who wrote that note? Surely it wasn't me, but it was. Because it speaks to you in a different way as you pray, as you're in a different time in your life, as you move and grow deeply in your understanding. As we move into the week ahead, I want to pray for you all an opportunity to read a Bible, any Bible. You can get them at the library, you can download them, you can get them in the basket, you can take it off the shelf. Those of you who already do that every day, that's fine. Do it more deeply. Maybe reach out and find someone who could learn from you, to teach them, to show them how. But I would encourage you all to take time. Take time this week to read the Bible. See where it takes you. Maybe if you don't know what to look for, find the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to talk about that next week. It's in the Bible in a couple of different places. See if you can find it. Read it. See what's happening before and after in the story. Open your mind. Open your heart. Open your spirit to the words we find in those books. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able to sing our closing hymn.
Thank you.
the story, understanding the word, taking it within your heart. Amen.